We're going to deal with why this is my most popular time. You can give me my lights back right here. There we go. That doesn't seem important, but when I look down at my Bible, believe me, it helps a lot. Go with me to Galatians, the third chapter this morning. And today we're going to deal with the pedagogue. Look at the person beside you and say, the pedagogue. The pedagogue literally is a Greek word. Now, we've heard words probably closest to it. Pedophile. Anybody heard pedophile? Okay. Heard pedophiles, things like that. We don't hear the word pedagogue or pedagogue anymore. It's a Greek word. It's where we get peda, which means child, which means to watch over a child or to watch a child. And basically, what it was in their time was it was the teacher or the master or the servant that would be in charge of that person. Let me show you. Go with me to Galatians, the third chapter, and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under what? Sin. That the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our what? Or our pedagogue. It was our schoolmaster. It was our teacher. It was our instructor. But now, listen, it doesn't end there. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to who? To Christ. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no more under a schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For many of you, as have been baptized unto Christ, have put on Christ. Now, this seems real small within itself, but everything we believe is wrapped in this one capsule. In this one thing is wrapped everything that we believe about Easter and everything that we're going to celebrate about Easter. And I want you to grasp this the best that you can, and because if we can get it this way, then all of a sudden we understand why we celebrate and why we are to enjoy our relationship with God. Understand first that there is a tutor that was given by God, but this tutor that was given by God was not able to fully bring us to where we needed to be. He's always with us. He's there to keep us safe. He's there to protect us. But He cannot get us to where we need to be. Let's go back. Because I need us to grasp this. Let's go back to Abraham. All the way back in the Old Testament. Anybody heard of Abraham? Father of faith, right? Did Abraham have any law? No laws. But yet Abraham is considered the father of faith. He's considered our father. Yet he didn't have any laws to live by, no regulations, no rules. But simply God counted his faith as righteousness and allowed that to be sufficient. And God said, Abraham, through you, I want to raise up a generation. I want to raise up a people. I want to raise up a group. And I am going through those people, I am going to bless everybody. I'm going to bless the Gentiles. And I'm going to bless everybody in the world. Through you, Abraham, all of this will be done. And God's plan was working perfectly. In fact, we find by the time of Moses, there's almost 2 million of these people. And yes, they're in slavery, but that's not a problem to God. God takes on the largest country in the world, Egypt at the time, and does plagues and does mighty works. And finally, Pharaoh says, just get gone. Just get away from us. Just take our goods. In fact, they loaded them down with goods and said, just go. That's how powerful God was. And here's what God's promise was to Moses. When you deliver them, you are going to bring them to Mount Sinai. And when you bring them to Mount Sinai, I will meet them, and I then will have relationship with them, and they will see me face to face. Now this sounds exciting, because here's God's plan. God's plan is to do this. He wants to make a kingdom of priests. Could you imagine if 2 million people had become priests of God? Could you imagine if 2 million people had decided, we will be God's nation, we will be God's people, we're going to illustrate Him and show Him to the entire world how to walk with God and how to love God and how to cherish God and how to adore God. And we're going to show the Gentiles how to do this. Only one problem. God's kind of scary. Look at the person beside you and say, God is kind of scary. Well, we face it all the time. I lost one of my favorite fishing poles here a week or so ago. I know I have 3 children, and they all fish at that same pond. And I've asked all 3 of them, have y'all seen my pole? Yeah. No, Dad. Y'all didn't lose it in the pond or anything. And I love Caitlin's answer. I don't remember that. I don't remember that. And so in the process of time, we all are in situations to where we've done something, said something, reacted in some way, and what it has done is, it has put us in a defensive mode, and it doesn't matter if when we were little and it was our parents, because you knew, I'm not telling Dad that because he's going to wear me out if I tell him that. I'll just wait till Dad finds out, then I'll just deal with the consequences. At least it'll delay it for a little while. At least it won't. And so with God, it's the same way. Imagine God, whom you're in the presence of, and everything about you's revealed. When you walk into the presence of God, all of your sin, all of your failure, all of it is just revealed. I mean, you got men like Isaiah who are holy men, who are mighty men. But the Bible says that when Isaiah met the Lord, when he was in a trance and got to go up to the third heaven and be in the throne room of God, you know what happened? This mighty man didn't stand up and say, God, man, it's so great to be here. You know what he says? He said, I fell on my face as dead. And I said, God, I don't deserve to be here. I'm unholy and I'm unfit and I'm unworthy, because there's something about knowing I'm in the presence of God and something about being in the presence of God that changes everything about us. It reveals all the darkness in us. It reveals our thoughts and our intentions, and none of us really like that. And so Moses is carrying these people to meet God. 2 million of them. A kingdom of priests. And they get to the mountain, and the story goes like this. God said, on the third day, I'm going to come down on that mountain, Moses, and they're going to meet me. But now don't let anything touch that mountain. Because Moses, I am so holy and so mighty that if anything touches that mountain, before, I don't care if a bird lands on that mountain while I'm on it, it'll die. That'll scare you. And the Bible says on that third day, the mountain started shaking, smoke coming off the mountain, lightnings coming down from the sky, striking the mountain, all manner of things. And you know what the people do? They say, Moses, we don't want to meet God. I tell you what, Moses, you go up there and you find out what God wants. And you tell us what God wants from us, and you bring it down, and we'll do whatever God tells us to do, but we don't want to meet Him. So we have our first problem. The kingdom of priests that God had intended now was relegated to one small group of people through Aaron's line. and they alone would go into this tabernacle that they had built. And they would sneak in and do their alms, and they would walk out and hope God would not strike them dead. They became the only people that could go into the presence of God and hear from God. And a whole kingdom of priests was knocked out because God said, "Y'all don't want it. You won't let me be your God. You won't let me commune with you and be with you and do what I want to do." It didn't mess up God's plans. God says, "Eventually, I'll get what I'm after. Eventually, I'll get what I want. And in the meantime, I'm going to give you a schoolmaster, because if you want laws, laws is what you'll get. In fact, there'll be over 300 plus laws of what you are to do, not to do, what you are to drink and not to drink, what you can eat and don't eat, when you can comb your hair and what day you can't comb your hair. There's going to be certain days you do this. If you want laws, if you want a picture of me and you're going to try to live up to me, then that's fine. I'll give you a picture of me and you try it. If you don't want to be a kingdom of priests, then you'll live as my bride. You'll live as my sons and daughters. You'll live under me, and you will live as according to I say." Now, I don't know about you. I never liked school. I was not a school person. I need to get my desk from you. Anybody remember these? I don't think they're as uncomfortable as they used to be, are they? Are they? Y'all still have desks like this? No. Very few of them do. I doubt very few of them still have desks like this. And when I went to school when I was young, this was a desk. You had your desk, and your stuff stayed in your desk, and this is the way it worked. Now, desk represents school to me. And it represents learning and growing and being able to accomplish and to be. And this is what basically Israel did. Israel said, "God, we don't want to walk with you and spend time with you and have relationship with you. What we'll do is we'll go to school. And whatever you tell us to do, we'll do it. I mean, we'll do it exactly to the letter. We'll do everything you ask, and we will live up to everything that you ask." And so began the process. Laws were passed down. Rules were given. Commandments were made. Only one problem. Only one problem. Cameron, come up here. You're my school man today. Basically, Camden, I'm going to give you a test. And this is basically the test. Cameron, you gotta learn all of this, and you've got to be able to do everything that's in this book. Everything that's in this book, Cameron. There you go, turn it up right side. Everything that's in this book, Cameron, every letter, everything. Here's the problem, Cameron. Now, when you go to school, what can you make? What's the highest thing you can make? Advanced. What? All right, you can make advanced. That'd be like 100, wouldn't it? 103 if you sign your name right. I always like that 103. Made 103. You got your name right. Come on now. Don't that tickle you? It's like, give them 3 extra points. They spelled their name right. I like teachers like that. That is good. Those 3 points helped me out a lot of times, those extra 3 points. But now here, if you don't do quite as good, Camden, then you would make a what? Like a B? A B or C? Now, if you maybe you didn't study, and I mean, if we really didn't study this thing like we needed to, and you had to tell God, "God, I tried, I just didn't do as good," maybe you made a D. And wouldn't be happy? Well, what about an F? That'd be worse. That'd be really bad. I mean, to make an F. Well, here's the problem with this test, Camden. You can only make advanced or an F. In other words, if you miss one problem, Camden, if you get one thing wrong, if you misspell anything, if you forget to dot one I, if you do, then it doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is, you automatically make an F on the test. That's bad. Yeah. It don't take a grown-up to figure that one out. That's bad. Because don't you figure you're probably trying to learn all of that, you'll probably make one mistake, right? Yeah, at least one. Still hoping to do advanced, maybe a 99, maybe a 98, maybe. But here's the problem, you can't miss one. If you miss one problem, if you miss one thing, you automatically make an F. You fail. Would you want to take the test? Still want to take the test, even though you know you're pretty much going to make an F. At least it's worth it. I mean, it's got to be something worth just at least doing good, right? I mean, you got to get some brownie points for at least trying. But that's the problem, Cam. You don't get any brownie points. See, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, if I try my best, then I'm gonna, you know, that's you're gonna look good on me. But see, I'm the master. I'm the teacher. I don't care. I really don't care, Camden. If you miss one thing, I'm gonna fail you. I just the way it's gonna happen. And here's the thing, now, Camden. Everybody that's ever lived before you. Everybody that's ever lived in every city, in every town, in every country has taken the test. And you know what? Everybody has failed. Not one person has ever passed this test. Doesn't sound too hot now, does it? No, not that much. This is basically what Israel did. Israel said, God, we don't want to be a kingdom of priests. We want laws. We want rules. And God, we promise we will not mess up one time. And the whole Old Testament story is simply about one country who was supposed to be a kingdom of priests doing what? Making one mistake after another mistake after another mistake after another mistake. Now they kept telling themselves, I'm doing so much better than the other country, and I'm doing so much better than them, and I'm doing so much better. But the problem is that they kept making a mistake, which means they made a... Because God won't accept anything but perfection. Thanks, buddy. I need you to see that because that's what basically we were under. When we came into this world, we were conceived in sin, born in sin. We have sin in our nature. We have sin. Nobody has to teach us how to lie. Nobody has to teach us how to sneak. Nobody has to teach us how to avoid blame. Nobody has to teach us how to do anything. We automatically coming in have a nature that instinctively doesn't want to learn it and do it. So automatically from the get-go, we already are going to fail. We are set up for failure. Go with me to the book of Romans. And I want to show you something. And let's walk through this today. And I want to show you why I get so excited at this time of the year. Let's begin at chapter 2 of Romans and verse 11. And let's understand the law. Let's understand our master, our taskmaster, our teacher, our tutor, our pedagogue. Let's understand who it is that has put us in this place, and that whether they are a bad person, a good person, whether the law is evil or anything of that nature. Go with me now to chapter 2 and verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with who? See, I'm not lying to you. When God gave the test, He said, listen, I don't care, Camden, that you tried your best. It doesn't bother me. I have no respect of persons. It doesn't matter whether you made a 90. It doesn't matter if you made a 99. It doesn't matter how well you did. It's simply you didn't do perfect. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish, where? Without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have no law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are law unto what? Now see, I get this question all the time. Well, Brother Lott, what about people way over in a foreign country that never got a Bible and never got a chance to hear the gospel? And I mean, how are they? I mean, they're not. You can't blame them for doing wrong, can you? You can't blame them. Tell me what society in the world that you know of where you can shoot somebody and it's okay? No. See, there's certain laws that are written on everybody's heart. There's certain laws that are simply written, and nobody has to teach them to us. They're automatically given to us. And because they're automatically given to us, it doesn't matter whether you've ever heard of Jesus Christ or not, you still will fall under a law. God says, not a written law that I gave these people, but you will fall under a law of your conscience by which I put inside of you from the moment you were born. And guess what? Not a person will pass that test either, because how many of us have ever done something even though we never had nothing really written down that we had to, but the moment we did it, we knew it was wrong? Let me go ahead and narrow it down. Every one of you. The one of you that dressed up and the one of you that's not dressed up. Every one of you. All of us have even broke laws we don't even know where they're written down. But when we did it, we're like, that wasn't right. I should not have done that. I didn't mean to do that. I did it. But the problem is, at that moment, I didn't make a what? 100. At that moment, I failed the test. At that moment, I automatically disqualified myself. And the teacher, the master, the school master looks at me and says, well, you can get up now. You can get up now. Because even though you tried, you didn't make 100. Now, but somebody will say, well, the law, it's not fair. Go with me to chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, and every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of... The reason you know you're not right before God is because of the law. The law lets me know when I walk into any place or any type of situation. I don't have to look down on people. I don't have to look up on people. I don't care if you got more than me or less than me. There's one thing I know about all of us when I walk in. And you may have more cash and you may have more bigger car, but there's one thing I know about all of us. We all messed up. I don't care how together you act like. I don't care how together you make it look. Every one of us are under law, and every one of us have failed, and every one of us have missed it, and every one of us have come up short when it comes to God. God says not one has passed. Not one has made it. Not one has lived up to the image of me. Not one has been able to take my laws and be able to live by my laws and not falter and not stumble and not fall. Not one. Well, then the law, Brother Law, that's cruel. Well, go with me to chapter 7 of Romans, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God what? Look at the person beside you and says, nothing wrong with the law. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. Go with me to verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Go to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I can't pass the test. I try. I can even tell you some good things I've done. I can tell you I don't cuss. I can tell you I go to church every Sunday. Some of you can tell people you go to church every Easter. You're not a bad person, are you? We all have got some good points. We all are not bad people. That's what we tell ourselves. I'm not a bad person, Brother Lott. Well, that's not the problem. The problem is you're not perfect. The problem is there is no secondary heaven, third-dary heaven, fourth grade. No, when you die, you either made it or didn't make it. And every man, every woman, every child that's of the age that understands they've done wrong has failed this test. Can't blame the law. Nothing wrong with the book. The book is right. I should not covet. I shouldn't steal. I shouldn't lie. I shouldn't do those things. It's absolutely perfect. I can't argue with this. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to help me? Who's going to help me? Because all I know to do now is hide. You know, if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to say, man, I'm doing good. Doing good. Even though I'm not. Because all I've got left is to hide. I can't let you know where I'm at. I can't tell you where I'm at. I can't explain it, because even if I explain it to you, I know you can't fix it. Even if I told you what I've done, even if I told you my thoughts, even if I told you, all you can do is just say, man, I feel for you. I really feel for you. That's bad. And when you walk away, all you're going to say is, well, I'm glad I don't have his problems. But if you tell me yours, you know what I'm going to walk away and say? Sure glad I ain't got your problems. So I'm hiding, I'm trying to fix, I'm trying to do better, I'm working at all this, and maybe God will grade on a curve. Maybe God will say, you know what, you've done good, you tried your best. Because that's really, Camden, what we're expecting in school, isn't it? I mean, that's what startles us when I tell you, Camden, you miss one. Camden, I'm not going to let you go. I mean, if you miss one problem, if you miss one thing, you will fail this test. But I mean, God understands. God doesn't understand. Way back in Mount Sinai, a group of people said, we can do it. We can do it. Even when God knew they couldn't do it, He said, I'll show you. I'm going to give you a school teacher, and the school teacher's job is simply to do this. They're going to test you and test you and test you until you finally come to the realization, I cannot make 100. If I've learned anything in my life, I've learned I'm not perfect. Now, if you haven't learned that yet, just nudge the person beside you and ask them, am I perfect? And they're going to look at you and say, no. So if that hadn't dawned on you yet, you haven't gained that realization, let's go ahead and bust that bubble. No. So I'm stuck, aren't I? Well, no, not really. Because mixed in that schoolmaster is also God's plan. Now let's go back to Romans and let's look at it from a different point. Let's go back to chapter 3 again. And let's pick up at verse 23. For For all have sinned and come short of the what? Being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Okay, God's bringing something along that I need. Because He says, look, I can redeem you from your flunking. I can redeem you from your test. I can redeem you from your failure. Go with me to verse 27. I've got something I'm making use here. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the... This is important. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Go with me to chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access unto the Father, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice, and the hope and the glory of God. Go to verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have received atonement. Now, let me get this in my head. I can't pass the test. But God said, I got a plan for you, if you will allow the plan to happen. Camden, come back up here. I'm going to give you a choice. Here's the choice, Camden. Now, you can take that test yourself. Or, you can let me take the test for you. Now look, I wrote the test. I know all the answers to the test. I know the guys who wrote the book. I'm the one that gave this teacher to help you pass the test. I taught the teacher. Now you got a choice, Camden. You can try that test all by yourself. Or you can get up from the desk and you can say, will you take this test for me? Which one would you choose? Be more than happy to. That's all faith is. That's all salvation is. It's me sitting at the desk knowing I cannot pass the test. Knowing I failed it, I've taken it many, many times, and every time it keeps coming back and the paper says, flunked. Well, this year I'm making a new resolution. I'm passing. Flunked. I'm 30 years old now. I know I'm good enough to do it now. Flunked. I've learned so much over my messed up life. I won't make the same mistakes again. Flunked. I keep flunking the test, and I will keep flunking the test. And Jesus comes by and says, Tim, son, let me take the test for you. Let me take it for you. Whatever I make on the test, let me accredit it to you. If I make 100, then I will justify you. If I make 100, I'll atone your F. If I make 100, I will ratify your grade. I will change your score. Whatever I make, you make. Whatever I made becomes your score. And all of a sudden, that became the deal that God gave us. We lost our schoolmaster. We lost him if we allow it. Now, here's where our problem is. Because a lot of us at this point, we have a hard time. See, what we want to do is, we want to say, well, God, can I help you take the test? Because we're going to sit here and we're going to say, God, that's C. That's a C. God's like, is that my test or is that your test? What am I supposed to do then, God? What do I need to do? You're going to have to just accept what I'm doing. You're going to have to accept that it's enough. Because there's a lot of people in here that do this. Did Jesus take the test for you? Yes. But now, you need to know this. You still need to grow your hair long enough. Yeah, but he took the test for me. Yeah, but that's not good enough. You still got some stuff you got to do to pass the test. I mean, if you dress right, then it works. Because you got to add that to the test score. See, our problem is we want to help God with the test. And what keeps us, even though we're here in church on a Sunday morning celebrating Easter, you know why we're not excited? Is because we will not accept that Jesus took the test, passed the test, and all of a sudden now every one of us in here who've accepted that He passed the test, it's settled in the heavens. It's done. It's finished. We don't have to be held under any drudgery. We don't have to be held under any judgment. We don't have to feel like we're condemned. All of a sudden, because He made 100 on the test, I get to stand up and say, I made 100 on my test. I get to go to heaven this morning. Why? Because Jesus Christ took it for me and He passed it. I meet people every day of my life that's trying to add one more question to their test. I meet people that want to put somehow a little bit of religion in with the test. And the whole book of the Galatians is all about that. It's all about a group of people who got saved by faith, released by faith, got redeemed by faith, and then all of a sudden some preachers came in behind Paul and said, but you need to be circumcised. And you, I mean, if you're not circumcised, all that other stuff don't count. I mean, you gotta dress right and you gotta do right and there's some things you need to change. Oh, man, you can't eat that stuff no more. If you eat that, it wipes everything out. I don't care what Jesus did for you. It won't work. And if we're not careful in here, what keeps us from coming to church next week is not what Jesus did for us. It's what we keep wanting to do for ourselves. And come next Sunday morning, we're going to say, I ain't going to church. I ain't going to do no good. You're still trying to take your test instead of celebrating what Jesus did for you. It always surprises me how we can one day out of a year celebrate what Jesus did for us, and then all of a sudden the other 364 days, now we're going to try to do something for Jesus. To earn some higher level or to achieve some higher place or some higher plateau or get us a few more rubies in our crown or earn heaven in a better level. Can I tell you something? If what He did, taking that test, did not suffice, can I tell you there's nothing you can do that's going to add to the score? Either He did it, He passed it, and it's settled. Or He didn't. So when they hold that young boy up this morning and they're holding him up from risen from the dead, you know what it's saying? He passed. He passed the test I could not pass. Death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Nothing could hold him. He passed the test. He made a 100. Well then, Brother Lot, what am I supposed to do? I'm glad you asked. Let's go back to Romans one more time and let's settle this. What am I supposed to do the next 364 days out of a year? Because I'm celebrating what Jesus did for me. Let's go to chapter 3 one more time. And let's go to verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the what? Jesus, thank you for taking the test from me. Now I want you to write that law on my heart so that I will not sin against you day by day. See, there are certain things I do because I don't want to get caught. And there are certain things I do just because I love. And I do a whole lot more out of love than I do not wanting to get caught. And God knows that about us. And He says, what I want you to do is I want you to love me and I want you to care for me and let me write on your heart the law so that you won't wake up every day wondering which way or what to do or not to do. Go with me to chapter 6 and let's explain it this way. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, shall we just continue sinning because He made 100 on the test? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him and baptism unto death, that like as Christ we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Verse 14, for sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Somebody said, well, Pastor Lyle, how do you live this thing? I mean, you don't have no law. You just said you don't live up to no rules. You don't live up. Well, how long is your hair? God tells me when to cut it. Well, who tells you how to dress? God tells me when I'm too naked to get out. I don't need nobody else looking at me going, whoo, you need to put some clothes on. I can look in the mirror. I can check myself and I can say, that ain't right. Now, I may not wear what you like. I may not wear polyester breeches and I may not preach every Sunday in a suit and I may not do everything you like, but I promise you, the law that's in my heart, I don't have any problem sleeping at night because I am under grace this day. Let's go a little further. Go with me to chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Verse 31. What shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Look at that person beside you, and I want you to tell them. Because see, here's the promise. We got people that are sick in our lives. We got people that are going through. And here's our problem. If we don't settle this in our heart, if we're still trying to earn, because there's some people this morning that feel like God is not doing this for you because of something you did or something you've done in your life. And you know what? I did some stuff, and I guess God's just paying me back. Can I tell you something? If God took the test and God made 100, it's accounted to you for 100. God didn't count your 77, and He didn't count your 88, and He didn't count your 92. There's only a 100 on your record. There's only a 100 in your file. Verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And as it is written, for Thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, look at that person say, I don't think so. In all things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you why I get excited at Easter. Because there was a test called life that I could not pass on my own. There was a test called life that I kept failing at. There was a test called life. I kept trying to cheat off somebody else's papers and do whatever I could, but I couldn't pass the test. I kept failing the test over and over, and I got so frustrated. I got so mad. I'll do my own thing. I don't care if I bust hell wide open. I've lived that life too, but something inside of me kept saying, that's not what you want. You want to make it. You want to make it. You just don't know how. And then one day, a man came into my life. His name was Jesus Christ. He is Lord and Savior and King of all. And he said, I have taken the test. I have passed the test. I made 100 on the test. And if you will accept my score in your life, it will set you free. And I said, God, what do I need to do? He said, all I need you to do is love me. I need you to open your heart to me. I need you to follow me out of love and do with me out of love and care for me out of love, and we'll walk through life together. I'll show you how to walk. I'll show you how to talk. I'll show you how to carry yourself. It will be a love relationship. We'll walk in grace together, and we'll walk from this world into the next one, and we'll forever be together. How about that deal, Tim? Where do I sign? If you're in this room today, I've done the hiding. I've been there. I've lived the life where I hope somebody didn't find out what I was doing. I've lived that. I've lived the life where I didn't care if you knew what I was doing. I've done flunked the test so many times I just didn't care no more. I've been there. But I never knew joy. And I never knew peace. And I never knew happiness till I finally accepted Him as my test taker. And I finally opened my heart and fell in love with the One who loved me more. He paid a price I could not pay. He passed a test I could not pass. He conquered enemies I could not conquer. That's why this morning I celebrate Him with tears. Not because I'm sad, but because I have the greatest relationship that any human being in this world could ever know. I know Him as the risen Savior, as King, and more importantly than any of it, I know Him as my friend who sticks closer to me than a brother, who has promised He would never leave me nor forsake, but will be with me to the end of the way. I can't help this morning but celebrate Him. I can't celebrate Him enough for all that He's done. If you're in this room right now, there come moments in your life where you have to make decisions. I've been there. Right now, I'm not going to make you stand and every head bow. You say, Pastor, there's a lot of people. Ain't enough people to stop you if you want to. If you're in this room and you say, Pastor, I'm still taking the test, or I'm still trying to pass some of the tests to let God get me to heaven, but Jesus sent me by here today to tell you, you're not under a schoolmaster anymore. If you decide right now, you can be under love and grace, and you can have a relationship you get to walk a lifetime through, one that you will never, ever regret. If you're in this place right now, you say, Pastor, that's